And amen. It is good to be saved, isn't it? Hey guys, is this not a good conference, a good pastor school? I'm not knocking about anybody else's, but you come here, it is just always good. I thought that right after Brother Sal spoke in the first session. I thought if we quit now, everybody got something. And I'm saying, and you know, I'm always joking, but I'm not joking what I'm saying right now. Your brother Aldridge gets up. If you hear a lawyer's going to say something, you're thinking, what is this, like a trip to the dentist without Novocaine? And I know you got something from his speaker. Yes. Right? I mean, it's been good. It has just been a blessing. Well, you will probably, you guys got meetings with me. You'll cancel over this one. You will cancel. I told you. Now, what I'm not teaching you, I'm trying to change some ways that you think. I'm going to tell you a joke that we have, most of us have all heard. And, hey, Nate, would you bring my bottle of water and cup up? Right there. Yeah, that's it. And the cup. I need the cup. Yo, Nathan, I need the cup. See, he's my son. He never listens to me. And the joke goes, you know, that this Catholic priest is getting a haircut. And he goes to pay. Thanks, son. He goes to pay, and the barber says, no, Reverend, you know, I never charge a man of the cloth. It's free. And, well, thank you, you know. And he goes, barber goes to open up his shop the next day, and there's a bottle of wine from the church, you know, the little note from the Catholic priest. Thank you. That was very thoughtful. And that day he's cutting the hair of this Jewish guy, a Jewish rabbi, and the rabbi goes to pay him, and he says, No, I'm sorry, Rabbi, but I never take any money from man of the cloth. It's just a service I do. Well, thank you. And he comes back, and there's a nice loaf of bread the next day when he opens up with a note from the rabbi saying, thanks, that was very kind. And that day he's cutting the hair of a Baptist preacher, and the preacher goes to pay, and he says, no, Reverend. He said, I'm more than happy to do it. You know, it's not much of a cost to me. And so he said, well, thank you. That is very kind. And next day he comes to open up his business. There's a line of 30 Baptist preachers. You know what's wrong with that joke? It's true. And guys, all of the money grabbers didn't get into the charismatic movement. Right? Now, I'm going to tell you what's wrong with the charismatic money grabbers. Their heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And if we can find anybody else that fits that description, then even if they're not a charismatic, it may be them. And I'm going to talk to you now. The reason I'm not hesitant, and you guys know it. I love you guys. I really do. And I think when I say you, I'm even addressing guys that are not in this room right now. I'm talking about guys that believe the book, that would fit here 100%. They just don't happen to be physically here. You are the best guys there are. I really believe that. And if I'm hesitant to bring this subject up, it's only for this reason. Whenever you try to tell somebody don't do that, the guy that says, yeah, I better stop, probably didn't need to stop. If you understand. I'm not talking about sinning and drinking and stuff like that. And here's what I mean. Because I am sure that some of you, someone helped you get here financially. Someone has taken care of your car, your meals, or your room. And there is nothing wrong with that. But I'm going to talk to you today about a different spirit. You know, I am an analyst. I joke a lot. And because I joke a lot, some guys think that maybe I ain't got a brain. And I got a brain. I got a brain. I'll put my books against yours. Okay? And I analyze. And there are some things. I told you yesterday about what I just look at Brother DeMichael and I look at Brother Sal. And they're friends of mine. But I told you, they don't have that let's fail mentality. And it is a spirit, okay? I'm not talking about demon possession or anything else, but there's a spirit that will tell you, it's all over, give up. And if you say, I'm buying what you're selling, then that puts you in that mindset. There is another spirit that I've watched those guys, these two guys, that they don't subject themselves to, and that is get everything free you can. All right? Now we, you know, you're in Bible college and you know your pastor, the church bought him a car every 3 years and they paid his house payment and they got his insurance and his health insurance and money signs popped into your eyes. And you said, I want that too. And that's what happens. We give ourselves to a spirit that we try to get everything given to us. All right? And yet the guys that you want, that you think are successful, don't have that spirit. And you say, well, then I shouldn't take anything. You should take anything somebody wants to give you. You shouldn't promote trying to get somebody to give you anything. I spoke last night about supporting missionaries, and I'll be honest, it always scares me, because some of you guys send us a check. And I'm thinking, somebody's going to go, well, if he's supporting missionaries, he doesn't need our money. Well, sure, how do you think I'm supporting the missionaries? But but here's the problem. We want people to do things for us, and we want to get as much as we can free. And so I'm going to talk to you. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. And I'm going to talk to you about paying your own way. Now, what I just said, there are some guys that I think I love them. And they just probably thought, man, you know, somebody helped me get here, and now I'm not paying my own way. That is, no, you're not the problem. There's nothing wrong. Listen, if somebody wants to do something for you, that's just fine. There is nothing. In fact, I think we should be doing things for everybody. I think we should be doing things for each other. But the problem is that we're always trying to be the one that's getting things done for us. If this guy gets a free book, then we line up. I want mine. You know, there was a steakhouse. I can't remember which one, a Sizzler or something like this. And I know down south they did this. They would let a preacher come in and get his meal free. You know why they stopped it? Because then the preacher demanded that his family get it free, and then he brought all of his buddies in. And you see what I'm saying? And guys, you know, we talk about the world, but it's us. And here is something that the book says. Now, this is, it's in my version. Go to the ant, or verse 6, 6, 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Now I am going to talk to you about some of the things. We are financial disasters, and it's voluntary. We jump off the building financially. No, but it's not, oh, ministry is so hard. No, we are, again, we are dedicated to financial, not failure, more like stupidity. We have no financial planning, and we've made that a conviction. Right? And I'm going to talk to you about some of the things we do. First off, I hear this. You won't save any money. I go, well, you know, I don't want to leave a bunch of money in a bank account for the Antichrist. Well, yeah. I mean, we don't want to leave it for him. We can give it to him now. You know what that statement is? That is just a statement to justify you spending every buck you can on yourself. I see a bumper sticker sometimes, and it makes me angry. And I see it on the back of RVs, and I see it on the back of trailers, and it's, I'm spending my children's inheritance. I wouldn't be proud of that. I hear guys say this, well, bless God, I'll never retire. Show me retirement in the Bible. How about a Levite in at 30 and out at 50? You know, we say we'll never retire. We're so proud of the fact that we'll never retire. You know, I told you, I analyze, I observe. I'm an observer. Have you observed how many ministries were picked apart and self-destructed by the guy that founded them after his about 70 or 75th birthday? The guy built a ministry and God blessed it. And I always say this, guys, the guy that makes you can break you. So if you're going to brown nose to some guy and you're going to try to have him move you up some kind of a ladder, just remember that if you get out of disfavor, he's going to take his ladder. Then you're going to start at the bottom again. He made you. He can break you. You go to somebody for a favor. You go to somebody for establishment. You go to somebody for money. And that is the guy that can break you. And many ministries, and when I say made by the guy, come on, don't pull me and say, oh, you don't think God had anything to do with it? Well, I've seen some of them. I'm not sure God did have anything to do with it. But the fact is that you, look, I told my wife many years ago, I said, we are not calling and asking for favors, but whenever we get wherever we're going, we don't have to worry about the phone ringing either and somebody calling in a favor. And the guy that makes you can break you. So you get this guy and he builds a ministry. And I'm done at what, by the way? What time? 25 after, right. One. The guy that makes you can break you. So a guy builds a ministry, then he turns 70 and 75, and his own antics destroy that very ministry. You've seen it time and time and time again. He would have done that ministry a favor to retire. Oh, come on, guys. Well, you know, I just can't retire on God. Well, I didn't say he should have gone out there and opened a porn shop. You see what I'm saying? I didn't say, I mean, hey, you know, he can call himself pastor, emeritus, call himself anything he wants, go around the country, you know, being the wizened, white-haired wise man telling people how to do things. I'm for that. I don't care. I don't care if his church wants to pay him a check. Some guys, the church would do good to pay him the check and say, here, we bought you a new car. Use it. You know why I think most guys say I'll never retire? Because again, it justifies spending every dollar today. If you're not retiring, you're not putting any money away for it. Well, you know, when I get to that age, God's going to take care of me. God did, and you spent it all when you were young. When I was in college, I had a guy there who was in college with me. The day before our college bill was due, he said this. I had the money for my college bill in the bank, and I gave it all away. I wanted to throw a fleece before the Lord to see if he would give me the money to pay my college bill. I said, he did, and you gave it all away. Right? Well, that was stupid. It wasn't spiritual. That was stupid. And we want to be stupid and describe it as spiritual. And so we try to weasel everything we can out of everybody. We want to justify spending every dollar on ourselves. And part of your problem is because your people don't pay enough, and that is their fault. And part of the problem is because your people don't pay enough, and it's your fault. And I'll talk a little bit about that. We have a beggar mentality. Where's my millionaire? Boy, you know, I'm an evangelist. I don't mine anybody's members for money. If I'm in a church and a guy is interested in our ministry and wants to be on our mailing list, that's fine. You know why I don't have any conviction about that? You know why I don't feel bad about that? Because I don't ask for any money in my letter. And you know, it is a spirit that getting money. I can tell somebody the engine blew up on my car and no one will send, in that letter, and no one will send me the money to fix the engine. You say, well, how come? They don't care. No, I didn't play the violin when I did it. There's a difference between reporting the facts and playing the facts. And so we try to get every freebie that we can, whether it's a meal, whether it's a book, whether it's a set of tires. We try to get everything. Now, here's what I'm telling you. I'm not telling you that that is sin, and I'm not telling you that that is wrong. I am telling you that that is a spirit. And it is a spirit that will make people avoid you when they see you coming. And a bunch of them are lost businessmen. And the rest of them are saved businessmen. And the rest of them are church members and anybody that's got anything. You know, I tell guys all the time, the We Are Americans, this little booklet. Now that thing, we just got a call from a member, the office of one of the members of Congress, U.S. Congress, because the church sent these to everybody in the House and Senate to get some. And there's guys putting those out to all of their political leaders in town. They're passing them out in front of their schools and colleges. And I get all these bozos come up and they go, yeah, I'm gonna pass them out at the 4th of July parade or the Memorial Day parade. And I'm going to do that. I go, good, good. And they go, can I have them free? Oh, wait a minute, guys. You say, well, you're still making money. Those cost me over $33,000. You'll go to Starbucks and spend $5 on a cup of coffee. You'll go to Cold Stone Ice Cream and spend $7 on an ice cream cone and gripe about paying a buck that might change the country. Now, isn't that right? That's a spirit. And if you're going to be a beggar, guess what? You're going to be a beggar. And you're going to think the whole world, I'm a minister. He got one, I got one. I'm God's servant, I deserve this free. You deserve hell. And I deserve hell. I'm going to give you just a couple of examples. Some of you, you know, I was talking to you about putting tires on my truck last night. You know what I didn't tell you? I got a friend who owns a tire business and would give me tires anytime I want them. You say, well, why don't you go to him? Because he'd give me tires anytime I want them. But I went to him one time, and finally, you know why I got a set of tires from him one time? Because he got mad at me. And Jeff, my brother-in-law, knows him. He's there, down here in Ohio. He came to me and he said, don't you get tires from anybody but me. Now, I go to him because he's a saved man. He's not a preacher. He's a Christian businessman. But here's what happened. And guys, I can't tell how many tires I've put on. Everything from buses to missionaries' cars to pastors' cars. Because we should. See, I think we should be the givers. And if you are a giver, somewhere you're going to be a getter. And accept it. Accept it. But I knew a missionary, and he needed four tires for this Suburban he had. And I called this guy up, and I just didn't have any money. And I said, do you think you could just, and I didn't ask him to give him tires. Don't you ever ask somebody to give somebody something free. I said, would you give him a good price? In fact, I may have said, give him a good price and I'll pay you for the tires. And the guy just gave him four new tires. I saw the guy a month later. Oh, get this. Wait. The guy gets the new tires, and a week later, he's got a for sale sign in the window of the Suburban. And I said, what are you doing? He said, well, now they got good tires on, I can sell it. Now, that's not the bad side. No, that's not the bad side. About 2 weeks later, I saw the guy with the tire place and said, how's that missionary doing with the new tires? I said, oh, pretty good, I think. Still got that Suburban. I said, now, I knew he had it for sale. I didn't know he'd sold it, so I tried to be as honest as I could. I said, as far as I know. I said, why do you ask? He goes, well, a lot of them, we put new tires on them, then they throw a for sale sign in and sell it because it's got new tires. Oh, wait a minute, guys. That is no different. I see. The crooks are only charismatics and missionaries. You see what I'm saying? That guy's thinking process is no different than mine and no different than yours. But we burn a Christian businessman. You know what that Christian businessman's doing today? He's still giving missionary tires. But you know what? You got to be careful not to burn those people out. I'll give you another example. Some years ago, when I was in Bible college, there was a guy in the church. He was going to paint his house. I painted houses. We had a man in our church that was just opening a paint store. Boy, I'll tell you what, guys. If you've ever opened any business, you know what you want? Business. And I told this guy, I said, I will paint your house only if we buy paint from Brother So-and-so. Now, here's what I'm thinking. The guy's opened a business. He's opened a paint store. Let's give him the money. And the guy said, that's exactly what I plan on doing. I said, well, good. We're on the same page. We were not on the same page. Because we walked into this guy's business about 3 days after he opened, and the guy that I'm going to paint his house says, hey, I'm painting my brother Gibbs going to paint my house, and I'm going to buy it from you. What kind of a discount can you give me? And I watched that man's face. You talk about a countenance fall. Here's a guy. You see paint on the shelves. He sees food for his family. And when this guy says, give me a break, you know what he's saying? How much of your family's food are you going to sacrifice to paint my house? And the guy went, I can give you a 10% or 20%, I can't remember what it was, discount. I thought, if I had thought any idea this guy was going to do that, I'd have never done it. But he wouldn't have done that to anybody else. Now, guys, we have a mentality to shake everybody down and get everything we can free. And here's the problem with that. The problem is, remember I told you last time about the lady sent me the tithe check? You really want to know why I didn't take that tithe check? Well, yeah, you have a conviction against taking tithe. No. You know why I didn't do it? Because a little spirit, I get that check and a little spirit says, go ahead and take it. And when I sign the check and take it, it's easier to sign it the next time and the next time and the next time and the next time, because I said yes to this guy. And if I say no to this guy, and if it's 25 bucks, doesn't bother me to say no to it when it's 1,000. So we seek everything free that we can get, and we want free suits. You know what Brother Aldridge can't tell you, all this tax trouble with preachers? It's because we're crooked.
That's right. Come on.
It's because we're, you talk about them guys finding loopholes, we find the loopholes. Just all the shenanigans of how we manage this. I'll give you an example. Anything I get that is for services rendered is taxable income. And I had a guy one time, he's a good man, he said, we're not taking an offering, just give it to Brother Gip, and it'll be a gift, and he won't have to pay income tax. And I took that whole sum, he was trying to be a friend. I took that whole sum, and I added it as my income. You know why? Because I was there for a meeting. And whether we call it a gift or not, it's for services rendered. But I'll give you another example. I was in a church in California, probably 6 months ago, and I just got a phone call from the pastor, and he said, we found $75 from your offering here. Where do you want me to send the check? And I told him where to send the check. And I list in my income, I have four columns. One is books, one is offerings, one is people that send us a regular check of support, and one is just a gift. Now, I got a $75 check from this church. Does the IRS know that it's part of an offering? No. Why don't I put it in gifts? You know where I put it? I put it in offering. Say why? Because he told me that's what it was. If he'd have said, hey, we want to send you 75 bucks, then I'd have put it as a gift. If he said, we're going to send you 75 bucks a month, I would put it down as support. But he said, this is part of your offering. Then it's gone down as offering. Now, the IRS wouldn't have known that if I'd have put it down as a gift. But if I'd have cheated there, I'd cheat somewhere else. You understand? Look, we are creatures of habit, and we will maintain that habit. I'm going to give you an example. Brother Richard Mick, come up here a second. I told him I'm going to do this. Now, look, all of us had some kind of job. You know, Brother DeMichael was a welder. I used to work on cars. Brother Mick is, he's not a cabinet maker now, but you're always that. He's a skilled craftsman, builds cabinets. We were talking one day, and I'm gonna ask, tell him what you told me about your worst day. Or, you know, who came in that bothered you the most?
When preachers came.
To buy cabinets.
Right.
Tell them.
Preachers come and, you know, they want it for nothing. They want it yesterday, and they, you know, I even had a guy, which most of you would know the fellow's name, I told you, he wanted me to build his library and put it in for him, about $20,000, and he wanted me to buy the material.
Okay. You say, oh, that guy's a skunk. He's a Sam Gipp. No, it wasn't me. I'm saying he's got the same heart you got. And every guy here would love to have some cabinet maker come in and build your library free.
Yeah.
Especially if you heard that a cabinet maker did it for somebody else. You'd be calling that guy that afternoon. Come on, we all know how to go fishing for a buck. You know what you need to do? I think you need to pay your own way. I had a guy in my church, had a four-wheel drive truck. We needed a four-wheel drive truck to plow the lot in our church. And this guy all but said, I'll give you the truck. I mean, he was just all but, if I just this much let him know I wanted it, he was going to give me the truck. But I stayed away from that like a woman, you know, swishing her hips. You say, why? Because down the road, I'd have got his truck. But I lost him. If we can get something free, we take advantage of it. When I said some of you pastors, now look, guys, I am a believer in missions. You know I'm a believer in missions. You know what I get into? And it happens a lot with young churches and young preachers. You start this church, you've been a church for a year, and you go, we're supporting 50 missionaries. And your pastor's working at Jiffy Lube. And I tell guys, look, I believe in supporting missions, but here's why they do it. The church is just as crooked, The pastor's not crooked. This is a case where the church is crooked and the pastor's just leading them wrong. But the church is saying this, why not put money into 50 guys' ministries and have credit from 50 ministries? Why should we give it to our pastor? We're going to have him anyway. But this guy is beating his head against the wall. Well, he can work like I do. Then why don't you get some sermons every week and you work like he does? And so if you're one of those guys, I'm just telling you that's an unwise direction to go. Because you don't mind working at Jiffy Lube this week, but I'm telling you that 15 years from now, you're going to want to be the pastor that church paid for. And you have to monitor some things. Now, I'm going to give you a little financial advice. First off, try this, tithe. Say, why would you tell a preacher that? Well, some of you know, don't you? I'll really cuss. Tithe off the top. Tithe before your deductions, tithe before your taxes, tithe before everything. All right? Tithe. That doesn't mean take it out of your right pocket and put it in your left.
Well, you never let your right hand. Yeah, I know.
You should tithe. You should tithe to your church. And I'll guarantee you there's somebody here not doing it. And the kick is not that you're not doing it. It is that spiritual excuse you have for it. And if when I said tithe, you came up with some spiritual excuse on why you're not doing it, go look in a mirror and see a crook. I'll tell you something else I don't advise. I can't remember. Maybe one of you guys knows who this is. I think it might have been, I keep wanting to say John Wesley, but it was somebody. Somebody said, it was a preacher, said, make as much money as you can. Save as much money as you can. Give as much money as you can. All right? Under that make as much money, don't try to be a businessman, guys. That book says we're supposed to live of the gospel. You know what I get as evangelist? Here, hey man, sell these phone cards. Sell this long distance service. They all come to me. You know why? Because if you, as a pastor, have 50 people in your church, you can tap 50 people in your church to buy the long distance. But if I go to 100 churches with 50 people in them, I can tap all those churches. And if I came to your church not selling stuff, then I got a conflict of interest, don't I? But so do you if you are. I don't care if it's the magic vitamin that's going to make everybody in your church last longer so that they can tithe for more years. You get into this, you know, sell the magnets, sell the phone cards, whatever the case may be, and it gets to be a conflict of interest. Beside the fact that it's not the gospel. It's not of the ministry. So just, you'll become dollar conscious, you'll export your people, and you will find some way to get money out of people. You really will. And then when it doesn't work, it's going to come back at you. I advise a budget. Here's my idea of a budget. If you got a bill that's $400 a month, put $100 away every week. Guess what you got at the end of the month? Just take an envelope, put car payment. Divide your car payment by four and put that much away every week. You say, preacher, what do I do in those months? I have five checks. If you don't know what to do with an extra check, send it to me. Man, that's like, what do I do with this food on this table? Get out of the way. You don't know what to do with food on a table, bucko. I mean, you know. You should budget your money. You should save your money. Now, mind you, I think you should tithe. I think you should give. I think you should personally support missionaries. I think you should support evangelists that speak at this conference, especially. You know, I'm afraid to call some of you guys sometimes for fellowship. Because I'm always afraid you figure I'm mining for money. Or you can't, you know, I'm really, I am very conscious sometimes of calling guys because they'll think, because that's how we are. We're evangelists and we're trying to swindle a buck. And we say it's all right. In the last month, I've put $3,000 in my rig. $1,600. My key fob on my truck didn't work. I had to fly. I left it in San Francisco with a pastor. He went to the Chevy dealer to get the key fob, the remote to work, $1,600. And the remote don't work. Say, what happened? He got it there, and it's a Chevy garage, man. They found out I needed brake pads, brake rotors, calipers, new windshield, seats, carpet, air in the tires. And then I blew two tires off of, put 500 more, put $1,000 in the bus. Did I cry to you about it? Say, well, you got that money? No, man, that's what credit and faith's all about, Buck. You just charge it like you got the money, walk out there and say, well, God, you got 30 days, take care of this one. That's why the Bible says that your poverty comes as one that traveleth. Well, read the book. It doesn't say travail. It says travel. You know how hey, here's a guy with pockets full of money, goes around a corner, guy pulls a gun, takes his money, just like that. He was poor. I'll drive down the road. You ask Brother Spurgeon. You're driving down the road, and the next thing you know, his whole house is on fire. He lost the entire bus as one that traveleth. I mean, you're driving. I'm driving down the road. Boom, I blow a rear end. I have it towed to I don't call the pastor and say, I can't come. My truck, the rear end went out. I rent a van, put all the boxes of books and everything in the van. I tell this guy, I'm going to be back in a week to pick this up. I rent the van, and with the van rental and the rear end and everything else, it was $2,500. You say, well, how did you pay for it? I didn't. I did. I charged it, and I walked out of there, and I said, God, you got 30 days. I got too much to do. I'm not going to sit around twiddling my thumbs. I got a church expecting me to be there. I think you ought to save money. You say, how? Oh, it's called a savings account. Well, look, if you want to get gold and silver and precious stones and bury them in your backyard, do what you want. You ought to have a savings account that you never touch. I'm not into stocks. I'm not against it. Every time I try it, I'm the kind of guy. I first put my money in 8-track tapes. And when I finally got over that major loss and I gave it another shot, it was a place called Enron. So, you know, I give up on that stuff. You may want to check an IRA. You may want to check an IRA. I opted out of IRS. Or I mean IRS. No, I pay them. I pay them. If you're listening out there, man, I'm telling you, I'm glad I don't have a backyard, because at this moment there would be a Dayglo orange helicopter with blue stripes and yellow polka dots landing in it. I opted out of Social Security. I don't know if that was a wise decision or not, but I know this. If I don't provide for my own Social Security, then it was an unwise decision. I think you ought to check. You know what, guys? I wrote a book one time, one of the books. It was the Understandable History, the first time I was, it was actually my master's thesis. And I went to the library and I tried to get a couple of books. One was The Life of Hort, one was The Life of Westcott. I got The Life of Westcott, I couldn't get The Life of Hort. I get the thing done. 6 months later, the librarian calls me and says, I got The Life of Hort for you. That lady, you know, they get tired of putting books away for 8-year-olds. And she got it on interlibrary loan. I couldn't take it out of the library. I said, lady, there's 1,000 pages here. I'd sure like to copy it. She says, take it with you. I walked out without checking it out. Had my secretary copy it, took it back to the library. Your banker's the same way. Next time you're down at your bank cashing a check, say, I want to put a little money away in something. Now, start with a savings account. But a CD will get you a little more. A money market will get you a little more. An annuity will get you a little more. The biggest thing about saving money is put it in and don't take it out. You say, well, how am I going to do that? I'll tell you how I do it. I've got a book. I've got an account I call the operating account. You say, what do you do with that? We operate. And then I have one called house. Now, that's pretty good for a guy for 20 years hadn't had a house. But you know, if I come off the road next month, we're going to need a house. You going to give me the down payment? How am I going to buy a house? Okay. So you mean you're saving money? You got a problem with saving money? What do you want me to do? Come to you with my hand out? Then what do you call me? You're going to call me some if I don't save it? Call me some if I do. Then I'd rather do it and not need you. But here's the thing, guys. You say, but I don't plan on retiring. But you will. You just might after your stroke. You just might when your diabetes gets so bad you can't see anymore. And there are guys, you know why they're staying in the pulpit till they die? They need the check. Now show me the spirituality in that. They are abusing their churches and they're building them into the ground now. You know why? Because they need the check. Because Because when they were 35 years ago, or when they were 30 years old, 35 years ago, they said, I'll never die. I'm going up in the rapture. Now, 35 years later, they can hardly walk across the room because they've had three strokes, can't see. They're 65 years old and they got $100 in the bank. You know what they need? They need the money. Don't think you won't do it. I know guys that are doing it. I'm not judging them. I'm not calling them a name, you understand? Anything less than human. But it's because they want to spend every dime now on every toy you want and then foist it off on God and say, God, you should have taken care of me. You know what he's going to say? He's going to say, I did take care of you. I took care of you for 35 years. And for 35 years, you preached a book that said the ant put it away in the summer when it was good. And you preached about the ant, but you never were the ant. I did take care of you. And you squandered it. You got the four-wheeler. You got another shotgun. You got this. You got that. Now you need money, and you're telling me to take care of your irresponsibility. We have made irresponsibility a doctrine. I think you ought to give. As much as I think you ought to save, I think you ought to give. But you know what I think you ought to give? I think you ought to give magazines. I think you ought to give dinner. I think you ought to buy somebody a ratchet. I give guys magazine subscriptions all the time. I like military history. When I find a guy that likes that, I just got one for Brother Sal. Just got what you saw. Yeah, brown nosing, huh? We went to college together. I don't need a brown nose with him to be a friend. I bought it for him. You know why I didn't buy it for somebody else? They're not interested in it. I just bought military history for a Navajo pastor in New Mexico who can't do anything for me. So why'd you do it? Because he likes that stuff. If a guy likes cars, I buy cars. I buy it for the kids. If I see a pastor's son who likes cars, I'll ask the pastor, can I get him a Motor Trend subscription? I'm not going to buy him one with a girl on the front. All right? But I'm going to buy him a Motor Trend or Car and Driver. And my kid's not into cars. So you like hunting? Yeah. Can I get him Field and Stream? So why are you doing that? For $20, less than $20, you can be nice. It's the gift that keeps on giving 12 times a year. 12 times a year, the guy's getting something. We ought to be nice to each other. You know what I do? Sometimes I send a guy money and say, take your wife out. Sometimes we're on our way here, and not here, we were driving across country. We pulled in and we took a pastor and his wife out to dinner. You say, why? When does anybody take the pastor and his wife out to dinner? Pastor and his wife's always taking out the missionary, taking out the evangelist, taking out somebody else. I take them out, and they say, man, no, they said, you're buying? I said, yeah, why? They said, nobody ever does that. I said, that's why I'm buying. I said, I want you to see what it feels like. You deserve to be on that end of the check sometime. And don't even ask him to take care of the tip. You say, oh, you're just getting in points. You can think anything you want if that's the way you think.
That's right.
But if you think I'm getting in points, I'm going to tell you why you think I'm trying to get in points, because that's how you work it. Because you gave in to the wrong spirit. I think you should take care of yourself financially. I think you should tithe, and I think you should support missions personally. But I think we should give each other stuff. I really do. Brother Steve Leithley is here. He wrote me a letter, and he sent me an article out of World Magazine, and he said, "Do you get World Magazine?" I know what he's saying. He said he's going to get it for me. I saw him here. I didn't answer his letter because I knew I saw him here, and I'd say, "No, and if you're asking, no, I don't." He's going to get me a World subscription. I wasn't trying to get that out of him. But I'll tell you what I learned some years ago. I never try to get support. I don't refuse it. I don't try to get it. And here's what happened. Early on, this pastor wanted to support us, and I told him no. I said, give it to a missionary. I don't want to take money out of their mouth. And then down the road, we needed money, and I said, God, I need money. You need to give me money. He said, I tried, stupid. You said no. Now look, if you're ever praying and you hear, hey, stupid, butt out. You can be idiot, you can be jerk, you can be anything you want. Stupid. So now I'm like the government and nukes. We neither confirm nor deny. Don't seek a dollar. Don't refuse a dollar. Unless there's some hook in it. You know what I'm talking about. But what I'm saying is, seek to take somebody to dinner. If a bunch of people, hey, guys take us to dinner all the time. Some of you have taken us to dinner a bunch. Then why shouldn't I take somebody else to dinner? And it's really good if you try doing it the Bible way, take somebody that can't take anybody else to dinner. Take somebody to dinner, buy somebody something that can't get you anything. Then you might discover you're a little honest. Guys, we have a mentality of getting everything free we can. And I'm not, listen, I know you say, well, but somebody helped me. Good, that's the way it ought to be. Don't sit there now and go, well, you know, somebody gave me this suit. Good. Unless you went fishing for it. To which all I'm going to say is, I'm not going to knock you in the head. I'm just going to say, don't go fishing for the next one. All right? I never go fishing for a buck. I never go fishing for anything. All right? I don't. I'm not going to do that. Not because I think it's wrong. But because if I go fishing once, I will go fishing the next time, and the next time, and the next time, and the next time, because we are creatures of habit. And that is a bad habit. And businessmen in your town, you come, you want printing done, and you want them to do it for nothing.
Well, you know, we're a church. You're right, this office is a tax.
Let him think of that, huh? Because I'm telling you guys, we have the reputation of being 30 deep outside the barbershop's door. Isn't that true? And that is shame on us. So pay your way. Give money to somebody else. You don't have to. Look, this week, don't give it to me. I can wait till next week. But but what I'm saying is, because I don't like evangelists to talk about giving and end up being the recipient of their own giving, their own preaching. You understand? So give it to somebody else. Take some preacher. Take somebody who you think is very unimportant to lunch. You say, why? Because you won't get anything for it except a bill and probably some really good fellowship. All right, let's pray. Father. Father, I believe it, God. I believe it. These are the best there are. I think they're doctrinally right. I think they're right about your book. I think that these guys really care about you and love you, Father. I am so blessed. I am so blessed when I hear Brother Sal speak. Not because of what he says, but the heart it comes from. Brother DeMichael, God, listening to what he just said, and I'm listening to his heart, Father. Brother Aldridge, God, giving us so much stuff. I am blessed by being around these men. But God, we need to have some character about us. We really do. These men aren't any more bad than anybody else. We're all equally wicked. So then it just must be not our wickedness, it must be how much we give into it. And help us, Father, help us not to be. You know, we knock welfare mentality, yet we have our own. God, help us to pay our way. Help us to have integrity. Help us help these guys, God. Give them some wisdom. Their bankers will tell them how to save money. Help them, Father, please. Give them gobs of money, God. I don't care. Give them lots of money, and I don't have to have any of it. But make sure they share it with somebody. Help them, God, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All the